It's a unique privilege for me to be back among you in these circumstances, rain and shine, flexible. Yeah, there's a new beatitude. It says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. So it was a good chance this weekend to be flexible. A bit of sunshine, a bit of rain. Well, I played some volleyball this afternoon. I enjoyed to play that with you young men. And I did some swimming and I did some visiting. And but what I'm about to do is what I like best, is to talk about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus has become my savior in 1981. That's a few moons ago. And he never once let me down. Not once. And I have full confidence that for every one of you that have cast your lot in Jesus, he will neither let you down. Not once. Amen? Amen. I went to see Andrea before I came here because I had a big question to ask her. Maybe Kevin would have known, but I wasn't sure if he knew. I thought Andrea was probably good at that. I asked her, Andrea, when was the year that Berea started? I kind of forget. Would you have known, Brother Kevin? Oh, it's pretty good. Actually, I wasn't sure at all, but that's many years ago, too. Folks, for a long time, there was only four family meeting every Sunday morning, faithfully and wondering, what are we doing? And then all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door and brought all kinds of amazing people in our midst. And unfortunately, I tried to meet many of you that I've never met, but I know that I have not succeeded. So many of you, I'm a stranger to you, and you are a stranger to me, but I trust that Jesus is going to fill in the gap. We're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. When I look at most people that are, how old are you, Corny? 30 somewhere. Well, most people 30 somewhere up, they haven't changed. But 13 years ago, who of you are 20 years old? Raise your hand that were part of this church. Anyway, there was lots of 5, 6, 7. Like Ben is a good example. Ben was just a little boy, you know, and yeah, the tiny boy. And now I come here and say, look at that. These men full of muscles and strength. And so you have changed a lot. But it's just convict me that the clock is ticking. You know that? Nothing is stopping the clock, folks. Tuck, tuck, tuck. And one of these tuck is going to be the last tuck. But that's for tomorrow. For today, actually, it's almost a year ago that Brother Kevin asked me if I would do that. So I have a lot of time to think about what could I bring. But it's only a couple of weeks ago that actually the Lord showed me. We were at a kind of a revival meetings, a sets of meeting in New Brunswick, and the preacher that was there had a message that really touched my heart. And he has inspired me a lot and in the lines of what we're going to talk about tonight. And before I left home, left on Sunday, I preached that message also a week ago. No, 2 weeks ago, actually. So I hope it could be edifying for you. I think of one of the songs you choose, Tim, that fits very well. God will take care of you. Are you resting in that? God, the Father of heaven, that created all these beautiful trees and every blade of grass that is here and all the beautiful children that are here. He will take care of you, of each of you. He knows each of you. Ins and out, and He will take care of you. I wanted to begin my message with something very much in that line, that God will take care of you. Verse that has touched me a lot. And it's in the first Gospel of John, Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 1. And I'd like to read that for you. And I would really like you to not listen to me. Listen perhaps to John saying that to all of us tonight. Apostle John, getting older, having been very intimate with Jesus. And he's coming tonight and he's telling you these things, these words. He says, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him. Folks, we shall see Jesus, John is telling us. And everyone that have this hope in Him purify himself just as He is pure. Isn't that touching your heart? Behold, look, consider, take notice what manner, what kind of great love the Father has lavished upon you. Upon all of you tonight, folks. God has loved you. And John, He wants to remind us of that love. And He reminds us that, by the way, you are now children of God. Children of God. Folks, for all of us that have been grafted in the vine, that have been born again from the Spirit of the living God, we are now children of God. We have been adopted by the greatest Father ever in the most beautiful family ever. Isn't that thrill your heart? Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us here, 2026, Arthur, Ontario. And He says, we don't know exactly how it's all going to happen, but one day we're going to be like Him and we're going to see Him. I want to excite you tonight. There's a day where we're going to see Jesus. Are you excited?
Yes.
I'm very excited. And John, he says, once you get hold of that, once you get hold that you're going to actually see Jesus, once you get hold that you're going to be like Jesus, John, he says, whoever have this hope in Him, he purifies himself just as He is pure. Does that make sense? Now we are adopted in this holy family. We have a holy brother, Jesus, and we have Father God. And we're excited that He had adopted us. Now we want to be like them, right? We don't want to say this old guy that I was before 1981. I want Him to purify myself for Him. I want to be like Him. Do you want to be like Him? Or I should ask, Do you want to be more like him? I certainly want. Let's always remember that. We are now the children of God. So I would like to preach tonight about our need of purification. Is that okay with you? Anyone have already attained? Or already have been perfected? Yeah. Thank you, to be honest. We want to be like him. And folks, the only way we can be more like him is to be purified. Is that we want to be purified. Do you remember? Note what John says. He didn't say, I will force you to be purified. No, once you got this hope in you, you want to be purified. Not because you have to. It's because you want to. That's so important, folks. Don't do Christianity if you have to. You're going to just waste your time. Only do it if you want to. If it's burning in your heart, I want to be like Jesus. Am I like Jesus yet? No, I'm not. But he's very patient, very long-suffering. He understands where we are, and he wants to help us along. Maybe some of you might think, well, but Jesus paid it all. What's the big thing about being purified, right? Jesus paid it all. It's a true statement that Jesus paid it all, but I think it's often misunderstood. Folks, salvation is a teamwork. You understand? And in that team, there's two persons. There's you and Jesus. And in that, as any work, teamwork, both partners has to do their part. Right? Some of you have worked with horses. I have worked with horses, with team of horses. And some were very annoying because they were always slack and the other one did all the work. And you say, come on, Bill. And there you go a little bit. We are in a teamwork with Jesus. Our salvation is a teamwork for folks. So there's two person in that teamwork. There's Jesus and there's us. So when you hear he paid it all, that's his part of the deal. But folks, we have our part to do. And that's what I'd like to work on tonight. Purify ourselves just as he is pure. Does that make sense when I talk about Jesus paid it all? It is a true statement, but it had deceived many thinking, well, there's nothing I need to do. He paid it all. Now, remember, salvation is a teamwork between us and Jesus, between you and Jesus. So I'd like to work on our part. Paul. You remember Paul? He was quite an apostle. He was quite a man of God. But he himself said that he has not attained yet. He has not been perfected yet. But he says, one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. Sometime behind us, there's things that are ugly, that are not nice at all. And likely there was some of that in Paul's life. And Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. And I press forward to the things that are ahead. You want to do that? Pressing forward. I'm sure there's a lot of behind stuff that is not nice in many of us tonight. But Paul, we want to follow his example. And he says, I forget those things which are behind and I'm pressing forward. Obviously, if Paul, this great man of God, said that he hasn't attained yet, he hasn't been perfected yet, that was that there was some purification needed in Paul's life also. So let's not be surprised that we also feel that there is purification needed in our life. We are all in the same boat. I'd like to read to you Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul is telling us here. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So my point tonight I'd like to underline is the transformation. We need to be transformed, folks. We were all born with wrong thinking, wrong understanding, wrong concept. And we need our mind to be transformed, our mind to be renewed. And let me tell you, it's a lifetime process. Don't be discouraged if you still feel that your mind needs to be renewed. But God loves to do that. We're a team with Him. And He knows what we can do, what we can work on. So we are all in the journey of purification. The good news is, Jesus is our schoolmaster. And He's a good one. I know there's probably many of you that have taught school before. I want to bless you for that. It's a great vocation. But as for us, Christian, Jesus Himself, He's our schoolmaster. So what He does, He's observing us. He's watching us as a good teacher does. Look at the work of His student. And He knows where our needs are. He knows that maybe in math I need a little bit of help. Or perhaps it was more rather in English. How do we say that? The dictation. Dictation. To write, you know, I write when I was in school and made many mistakes. So my schoolmaster would come and teach me, you know. And so Jesus is like that. He's watching us. He's knowing us personally. And He knows what we need. And Jesus, in His goodness, He's going to allow some circumstances in our life to kind of help us where we need it. Are you with me? That makes sense? You follow that? Jesus is aware of all of us. He's aware of our strength. He's aware of our weakness. And He's very good. He knows we cannot do it all at once. So little by little, you feel that this today is probably a good day to start to work on that. But tonight I would like to focus on one wrong practice that I believe every human being was born with by default. I think all of us can understand what I'm going to talk about. And that wrong behavior or this wrong reflex that we all have is a great hindrance in the work of the schoolmaster. So yes, I think Kevin was right. My desire is that we could be better students for Jesus, so we can learn faster. There's lots of work to do. So the sooner we learn, the more we learn, the more we're going to be efficient for the kingdom of God. Yeah, every human is unfortunately afflicted by this behavior, and it's been around for a long time. In fact, Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, talked about that quite a bit. In abundance, he talks about that. He exposed it, and he called it for what it is. He doesn't mince his word. I make you curious now? Are you wondering, what is he going to talk about? Put your seatbelt on. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read to you a proverb. I'm going to read you more than one, but I'll start with one. It's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Solomon, he says that about us. He says, the way of a fool. Anyone can finish the sentence? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's the problem we have. That's a default problem we were born with. Anyone can relate to that? He's wrong. No, Ben's wrong. Aren't we very quick to do that? But that's the first half of that verse. I'd like to focus actually on the second half that gives us hope. But it says, but he who heeds counsel is wise. This is what I want us to become more and more. He who heeds counsel, receives counsel, is wise. So the general flaw I would like to talk to you about tonight is how much we tend to be right in our own eyes. It's called self-righteousness, folks. We don't like that word, right? Self-righteousness doesn't sound good, but that's what it is when we are right into our own eyes. Self-justification. We incline to always think we're right and the others are wrong. And that we do not like to be corrected. I don't know about you, but I certainly was born with that. So there's two groups in this verse. The fool that are right in their own eyes, and the other group has learned to appreciate and welcome instruction and correction. And I'd like to help us to be more aware of our tendency and to choose to change it. That flaw alone, just this flaw of resisting instruction and resisting correction, is doing so much damage into the kingdom of God. Who's get shortchanged for that? Who's getting shortchanged for that? Jesus, folks. This one that came and died for us. So if God calls fool those that are right in their own eyes, but call wise those that receive and listen to counsel and instruction, which way should we choose? But it's not going to come by itself. We need to be to purpose in our heart to overcome that tendency within us. Sometime I visit, my dad is still living, 94 years old, and sometime I go visit him, and my dad is a fan of hockey. So when I go there, often he watch hockey. So I sat with him and I watch hockey with him. And I'm pretty amazed how fast this guy goes, how good they are. I heard that this guy, average, the hockey player, they make almost $4 million, the average, $4 million a year of wage. Any one of you do near that? These are stars. These are the best of the best. Of the whole world, used to be just from Canada, now they're coming from Russia and everywhere. They go everywhere to find them, and they pay them crazy money. But I'd like us to notice something about these stars. You know, when I watch them, I'm surprised how often they have a shot on the coach. You know, the coach is there, and he chews gum, and he just watched, you know. He's really extremely intensely watching what's going on, right? What I found amazing, folks, and I think all of us can learn, is that all these players that have succeeded to be in the NHL, is that how you call it? They all have one thing in common that we can learn from. What is it? Anyone can guess? They listen to the coach. Very good, Aaron. Can you imagine these guys, $4 million a year? They're the star. They're the best player. And I would bet you that the coach that they have doesn't play hockey as well as they do. But if the only reason they could be there is because over the years they were able to receive instruction from their coach and receive correction from their coach. Are you with me? And the reason, it's not just the $4 million. The reason that they do that is that the coach and the players have one thing in common. That's the Stanley Cup. Right? I'd like to tell you tonight, we've got something million times bigger than the Stanley Cup to look forward for. And it's someday the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. How about that? Can we unite ourselves and work for that? To be ready when he comes. The New Jerusalem, where there'll be no more pain and no more death and no more division and no more sweat and it's not going to last for, say, a 3 weeks vacation. Folks, it's going to last for eternity. Don't we want to be ready? Shouldn't we be like these NHL players, willing to receive instruction and correction? Because we all have agreed that, yeah, well, I want to purify myself just as he is pure. And there is no way purification will take place unless we are willing to receive correction. Does that make sense? So the question that we need to ask ourselves tonight is, how are we when someone brings a exhortation in our life? How do we take it? How do we behave? Are we defensive? Are we excusing ourselves? Do we try to prove that we're right? Do we justify ourselves? Do we quickly turn the table around and say, well, you know, try to correct the corrector? That the way that he presented it is wrong and therefore I cannot get it. And folk, if it is how you are inclined to react, it is very normal. It is very human-like and very carnal. But we are no longer walking in the flesh. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And my burden tonight is that our view of correction could change with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, and that we cease to see correction as almost an enemy, but rather as a friend. As the grace of God coming down from heaven, our schoolmaster coming to help us. Can you see that? Can you see the need that we have? And how we need to change this almost a reflex that we have within us when the correction, whoa. It ought not to be so. Correction is the grace of God coming down from heaven. Our Father coming and says, my son, my daughter, I want you to look at that. Are we okay? Should we be okay with that? Did you know that God loves righteousness? And that he blesses and prospers the righteous? In Christianity, there's a line that has polluted Christianity a lot that I would like to untangle for you tonight. And it says, this line is, all our righteousness is as filthy rag before God. I'd like to clarify that. This was said in Isaiah 64:6. Do you really believe tonight that when God look at a righteous person that has a righteous life, live a holy life, that God look at, that's garbage? He does not, folks. God has always loved righteousness, and he's still looking for righteousness in our life. What he doesn't like is self-righteousness. When we think that we are the one that is right. God loves righteousness, and God hates iniquity. Are you with me? God hates iniquity. And yes, we can look at the world and say, wow, yeah, you know, these LGBTQSVUW something. Oh, bad they are. God hates that. And he does. But there's many other things that God hates. When you don't forgive your neighbor, God hates that. When you're impatient with your wife, God hates that. Unfortunately, we all have some kind of bad habit. That's why we need to purify ourselves. And I want us to focus again on the fact that we don't have to purify ourselves, folks. If that's how you feel, something is lacking in your understanding of salvation. We don't have to. We want to. Because we are now the children of God. That's a good reason to want to. But how is purification going to happen? The only way that purification can happen is through instruction, correction. And I'd like to read a few more of what Solomon said about that. Please listen carefully. These are not my words. This is how God looked at it. So there's another one in Proverbs 16 that says, all the way of a man are pure in his own eyes. So again, I said, it's a problem that has been here for a long time. But the Lord weighed the spirit. The Lord examined the motives of a man's heart. Another one in Proverbs 21 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighed the heart. Another one says, there a generation that is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. We know where that problem comes from. Once upon a time when God created Adam and Eve and he had told them, you can enjoy the whole garden, but not this tree. You don't touch it. If you touch it, you're going to die. You remember the story. Well, when God came to the garden and he asked Eve, he says, what is this that you have done? And you know what Eve said? It's the serpent. And then he went to see Adam and he says, have you eaten from that tree? He answered, well, this is a woman you gave me. So it's not from yesterday that we tend to pass on the blame to somewhere else. That's why we need to focus on that. Take responsibility for the things that we have done wrong. Another of Proverbs 15 says, the hear that hear the rebukes of life. Excuse me, for those of you that don't know, I'm a French guy, and I have a hard time to this day to pronounce H when it's there and don't pronounce it when there's not there. So the hear that hear the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. It's such a beautiful statement. Listen to the next one. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. This is how serious it is. This is how God looked at it. But he who heeds, he who listens, he who receives rebukes gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I'd like to pause here. Solomon said, before honor, there is humility. Let's be honest with each other, folks. What makes it hard to receive correction? If we really are honest with each other, if you go right down to the root cause of what actually makes it difficult for us to receive correction, I believe that it's the chief sin among all the sins. It's the original sin that brought humanity where it is today. That's the original sin that have caused all the blood that was shed from Adam to our day. It's that sin that is causing the family in disrepair in our generation. The chief of all sin, called selfish pride. Folks, this is the root of what makes it difficult for us to receive instruction and correction. Let's, with a passion, hate that sin in the same way that God hates it. Let's, by the grace of God, face that giant sin, and with his authority in the name of Jesus, to rebuke it from our life. I'd like to encourage every one of you, every single day, 365 days a week, when you're on your knee before God, never forget to ask him to deliver you from that destructive sin of selfish pride. It's going to go a long way into each of you. And seek to cultivate this beautiful virtue of humility. There is the victory for all of us. God, he gives grace to the humble. But God resists the proud. You have any chance? If God resists you? I've seen lots of young men who had big muscle. Do you think you have any chance with Jesus if he resists you? Don't even try, folks. Choose the humble way. It's always the way of victory in our life. A few more verses in Proverbs. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Another one. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your later days. Listen to that one. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your later days. I've got a story to tell you. Once upon a time, I was traveling with a bunch of young guy. Amazing young guy. 14, 15, I'm not sure how old they were. And as we were traveling, one of them, he took his Bible and he was trying to read something to me. And I loved the guy. But this poor guy couldn't read very well. He was really stumbling. And I felt for him. I knew that if he doesn't correct that, it's gonna be a stumbling block for him all his life. So I didn't know if I should tell him or not, but I decided, well, I love him too much not to tell him. So at one point, we were somewhere, and I just said, hey, brother, maybe you should look into improving your reading, you know. And this young man, he received the counsel. And years later, he became a teacher. Hallelujah! And here it says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your later years. Most of you are not very old here, folks. So I plead with you. Be open. Open your ears to counsel, instruction. Don't disdain them. Don't resist them. Welcome them. Love them. In my home with my children, there was few words they were not supposed to say. And one of them was stupid. I didn't want my children to tell each other they're stupid. But then I was surprised when I found out that God used that word in the scripture. But I still didn't let my children use it. In Proverbs 12, listen, this is very potent when it comes to correction. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? But it's not me. There was none of that in my home. It's God. That's how he sees it. When you resist, you're stupid, according to God. He who accepts correction is wise, but to reject it is stupid. So, folks, let's walk in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. I know how you feel because I feel just the same way. When a correction comes in our life, let's welcome them. If we want to purify ourselves, we need them. And that includes everyone that is here tonight. The grandpa, the grandma, and the pa, and the ma, and the young married, and the children, the small children, the mid-sized children, the young people. We're all in the same boat. We should look at correction as a gift of God. He knows what we need, and he's active to look for people to do his bidding for him. And I'd like to give you a little secret as well. The faster you receive correction, the less you're going to need. How about that? That's a good deal, right? Because God is pretty perseverant. When he works on something, he just go at it. And he's going to keep going at it. It can take a lifetime, but he's going to keep going. He's going to change the circumstances. He's going to change the thing. But when you see something that needs to be worked at, he's going to work at it. So, hey, the sooner we receive it, the sooner we do something about it, the less is going to be needed of it. I find it pretty stimulating. So correction, where and how does correction come into our life? That's what I would like to. The first place is here. That's the book. That's the map. That's the word of life. That's the bread of life. So, make yourself familiar with what's in here. This thing has corrected my life in a million ways, and it still does. So that's the first place to find your correction and your instruction. Does that make sense? This is the word of truth. Then the next one that you most likely is going to be used in your life, in our life, for those of us that are married, is likely going to come from your spouse. Well, they're the one that knows you the best. We only know each other on Sunday afternoon and Sunday morning, but she knows you when the door is closed. She and he knows you. So let's not be surprised that as a married couple, we might be able to see things in each other's life that needs to be addressed. And I have to confess that it hasn't been easy for me to receive correction for this precious wife for a long time. and it make it hard for her. And maybe some of you also have some struggle when you receive correction from your spouse. But Paul says, the renewing of our mind. God has intended it that way. That's why we have a help meet. We're there to help each other. So I want to encourage everyone, receive it. See it as a blessing, as a tool to help you grow, as a tool to help you get purified. The next place where we can receive correction in our life is from our brothers and our sisters in the faith. I want us to know that it's part of our responsibility toward one another. So if a brother or a sister come to you, I'd like to encourage you to receive them, to welcome them, to listen to them, to appreciate them. Because I'd like to tell you one thing is that if a brother or sister go to see you at any time, I guarantee that that brother, that sister does not like to go and do that to you. He only does it as an act of love toward you. I don't know about you, but I really dislike correcting whoever. It's not a fun job. But this is who God have to work among us. Sometimes, yes, God would speak to us. I'm certainly, there's room for that. But in general, it's a human thing. We work with each other and we can exhort one another. In fact, the scripture tells us to exhort one another daily. I haven't been very good at that. But still, the scripture tells us that. It's a sacrifice to offer a correction to our brothers or our sisters. I guarantee they would rather do a thousand other things than coming and trying to bring a word of correction to you. So receive them. Welcome them. Consider what they're telling you. Maybe you don't see it at one, but don't just push him off. Don't put a wall right there and build that you won't be able to hear or to see what he says. There's a little saying that says, in all correction, there's at least a grain of truth. So look for that grain of truth. If you don't see the whole thing, look at least at something that, yeah, it's got a point there. Don't look at it as an enemy, but rather as a friend. Another way that correction can come in our life, folks, and these days not very popular, as far as the scripture, my belief of the scripture is as true today as it was when it was presented to us. You all agree with that? Or is it outdated? Is some of the verse, not for 2026. Kevin, what did you say often? God is
always
right. So is that include the Bible? Is it outdated? I know that you believe it's not outdated, but let's be genuine believer. I'd just like to read you something. Now we're talking about receiving instruction and correction. And I've shared with you different area, different way, different avenue that it's coming into our lives. And I mentioned the first one is the Bible. The second one was for those that are married, their spouse. And also for those that are in the church, our brothers and our sisters. Now I'd like to tell you another way that God, as he's looking on us, seeing our need, another avenue that he is using. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey those who lead you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Folks, the elder that are over you, they have a responsibility given by God. They haven't asked for it. It has been given by God to watch over everyone of your soul. And I want you to, if you listen, what it says is that these elders is going to have to answer to God for the responsibility that they have. And it says to you that don't make life difficult for them. Because if you do, you're going to suffer for it. Does that make sense? I'll read it again. Obey those who lead you. It says rule you here. Rule, but I find out years ago that only the King James Version has the word rule there. All the other version has the word lead. And I don't like the word rule. And I can see why a king was deciding, let's put rule there, because that's what king did. But your elders are no king. Right, brothers? Right. Not at all. But they are shepherd. They are caring for your soul. It's a heavy responsibility, folks. And they're going to have to answer to God for the job that they're doing. But you also going to have to answer to God how you received it. It says, don't make it hard for them. Okay? That's another way, avenue that God is using to bring instructions in our life. They're watching over your soul. That's their calling. And it's not an easy one. Another way that correction comes is for those of you that works through your boss. Receive your boss. Apply yourself to please your boss. Work for him as if you would work for Jesus. Is that too extravagant? That's what the Bible says. Let me paraphrase a little bit what it says in Ephesians 6 and 1 Peter and James all together. Hope you can get the point. So this is paraphrase. It says, employee, be obedient to employer with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not only when he watch you as men pleaser, but rather as a good employee of Christ himself. Serving your employer from the heart with good will as to Jesus himself and not to men. And that not just to the good and gentle employer, but to the harsh one as well. This is the direct words of God. I mean, it's paraphrased, but it's the principle is from God. That's a high standard, folks, but that's a standard of every Christian. Since I talked about those that are employee, I'd like to talk to the employer as well, because they are so addressed. It says, and you employers, treat your employee in the same way you would treat Jesus. Do not use threatening. Remember always that you too have a master in heaven that is watching you. Make sure you give them good wages and don't be greedy. So I'd like to encourage all of us, if our employer, if our boss wants to correct some of the way that we're doing things, let's receive it. Let's be good employee as if we would serve the Lord Jesus. Now, another group of people I would like to address tonight is the children and the young people. I'd like to encourage you to receive instruction and correction from your parents. Are you there, young people and children? Are you listening? For your own sake, God is super sensitive to children that yield to their parents, that obey their parents. God has got a big water can and he just pours blessing on children that are yielded to their parents. But on the other side of the token, for the children that rebel and that resist their parents, God makes it difficult for them. Anyone can relate to that? I've tasted both sides of that coin. No? You all were always good? Ah, one honest one there. That's God's economy. We're lucky we have instruction. We can know about these things, children. So If you want the blessing of God upon your young life, maybe if you're 5 years old, you can be 10 years old or 15 or 20. God is no respecter of person, and for a child that yield and obey his parent, it's very precious to God. He will bless you. Life will go well for you. But when you put the brakes and when you reason with your parents, it's going to be hard. Hard for you, hard for your parents, hard for your family. Some of you children might say, well, but you know, my parents, I don't know, they just correct me on the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, do you know why they do that, children? It's because you haven't got it yet. You're still doing the same thing. I guarantee when you're going to stop, they're not going to correct you on that. So if you feel like, my dad, you know, I don't know why, he's just keep telling me that same thing all the time. It's very simple. It's because you keep doing the same thing. I bet you, if you stop, he will stop. I had 9 children. I know some about that. Yeah, your parents, children, young people, they don't find any pleasure in correcting you. I can guarantee that as well. But they love you. They want to build you up. They want to build a character in you that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life, that you would enjoy for eternity. That's what they want. That's why they're correcting you. So to you as well, children and young people, when correction comes your way through your parents, don't say, mom's still going to tell me about my dishes that I am not doing well. No, don't look at it this way. Look at it also that, hey, you got parents. They love you. They want to train you. Did you ever go to a grocery store, young people and children, and right in the middle of the, there's a child that make a tantrum crisis right there. I want this chocolate bar and I want it right now. Have you ever seen that? Why do you think a child would do that? Why in the world would a child do that? It's because they weren't trained. That's who we are. That's what I would be if I wouldn't have been trained. So I know that training sometimes is not always pleasant. But remember, it's God's ways for you to prepare you. Because children, young people, I told that, I addressed a group of young people not too long ago, and I told them, you know what? Within 5 or 10 years, you're all going to be married. And one of the young men said, not me. A year and a half later, he just married the same weekend that Dallas got married. I had to tease him a little bit. Yeah, all of you children, sooner or later, you're going to get married. You're going to have a spouse. You're going to have children. And your parents, what they're doing right now is trying to prepare you for that. And I see young parents here with little baby children. I've seen, even heard some of you that, I don't know, it's their first child. My night, I cannot sleep as I used to. So that's why we need to be prepared. Because raising a family is kind of hard work. But it's a beautiful work. It's fun. But there's a lot of sacrifice. It's even funner when it's all over with. Have a wife. Sylvie and I just turned empty nester a year ago. So that is the best part of all. But my souvenir of raising my family, it's golden. I enjoy it a lot. I was telling some of you, do you know what I like the best about raising my children? Is that my children were my trainer. They trained me. Do you know what they trained me at? Denying myself. 24/7, I had to just lay down my life. And if they would not have been there, I don't think that I would have done it. But I love them, so I have to lay down my life for them. When I thank God for my children, that's what I thank him for. The work that they have done in my own life. So for those of you that have young children and all that, yield to that as well. Let God strengthen you and lay down your life for your children. It's I think it says in Psalms that children are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And as I was raising my children, when they was in the midst of it, you know, when they were all there, I was wondering what kind of reward it was. But now I can taste it. And it's amazing. Oh, I cannot describe the blessing that these children are to us right now. So, I'm a little bit on a rabbit trail here. Forgive me. So, children, don't forget that. Just to illustrate a little bit why instruction is important. Let's take, for example, a teacher. And that teacher, well, he doesn't really want to be in conflict with his student, or he wants to make life easy for his student. So he's trying to teach them that 5 + 3 = 8. But this little fellow there, he's just coming, 5 + 3, and he writes 9. But the teacher, well, I don't want to make life hard for him, so I'm just going to let him go. And then he's trying to teach them how to write, and he wants him to write beautiful. And he writes B-U-T-I-F-U-L. No, that's not how you write it. Oh, but he just let him go because, you know, he wants to be nice, and he doesn't want to make it difficult. And if he does that with all his class, would he be a good teacher? Yeah, but he wants to be nice with the student. He don't want to make it difficult for them. See, it's easy for us to see that the school teacher needs to correct their student because the school teacher wants his student to be able to read and to write and to do maths and multiplication. So there's no way you can get that without being corrected. We all feel good about that, but so let's, by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit of God, ask him to change our mind. Renew our mind when it comes to this aspect of our life that we all are facing. Every one of us is facing it sooner or later in different circumstances. Let's look at correction as something good. A gift of God. Does that make sense? The other day, not the other day, actually, fortunately, it's a number of years ago, my wife would say, she's very glad for that, I got stopped by a policeman because I went too fast. Well, you know, I wouldn't like to be a policeman. Would you like to be a policeman with the respect that people have toward police people? Honestly, when this guy came and he reminded me that I went too fast, first thing I thought, thank you very much. I felt bad. I felt ashamed of myself that actually I was driving that fast. Let's have that kind of heart toward authority over us. This policeman was actually watching over me and over you because unreasonable drivers can harm you. Can you see that these policemen are not there to make life hard for us? Yeah, he gave me a ticket of perhaps $250. But actually, by the grace of God, I was mature enough to honestly in my heart say, I thank you. And I'm very sorry for what I did. And it happened another time, and the guy was so impressed and surprised because usually they all have bad words. He was looking at me and wondering, where are you from? And he didn't give me the ticket. But don't try to do it for that. Try for the right reason. So remember, we all are in a sanctification process. Every one of us here have a form of responsibility toward correcting each other. Yeah, I said responsibility because this is what God is using on this side of eternity is each other. So if the Spirit of God nudge you, that maybe you should go say something to brother or sister so-and-so. This is what I suggest you. Don't go too fast. Just wait, maybe he tell you a couple of times to make sure that it's him, because sometimes it can be us. I never want to do that. But be sensitive to the Spirit of God and look at it as we're participating in the purification program that we are all in. Yes, God can use the scripture. Yes, yeah, God can use circumstances, but most of the time, correction is going to come from human being in our life. So let's be willing to do our part. But if there's one good place to obey Jesus' word when he says, do to others what you would like to do unto them, to do unto you, it's a good place when it comes to correction. Try to do it gently, just like you would like others to do it to you. And lovingly, if there's no love in your heart toward the person that you feel maybe needs a word of correction, just stay home. Don't go. It has to be done out of a heart of love and care. And as I'm saying that, I don't want you to get carried away either. And every time you see a little something, oh, I need to go correct brother. What is? Yeah, I saw him this afternoon and he was driving. He was watching his phone and he was driving his tractor. I need to talk to him. No, we have to have discernment, folks. We're not, we need to give grace to one another. You know what I'm talking about. So as a conclusion, remember we were all born in the same boat, right into our own eyes. But by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God within us, by the teaching of the Word of God, I just plead with all of us tonight that we could, by pursuing, asking God, change my mind. I don't want to react like that when someone come and correct me. I want to receive it. And guess what? God is all for that. He's going to help you. Remember how we begin the message. Behold, look at the amazing way that God has loved us, that we now can be called the children of God. And we don't know for sure how we're going to be and how it's all going to happen, but one thing we know, we're going to be like him and we want to see him. And those that have this hope in them purify themselves, just as he is pure. Amen? Now, I don't know how long that message was. I think maybe I said too many words. I'd like to resume what I said in one verse that is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Yeah, everything that I told you tonight, God said it in two lines. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Right? But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those, are you with me? For those who have been trained by it. This was God's plan, God's economy from the beginning. So don't be surprised that when you get a correction coming your way, that something within you is kind of chafing a little bit. It's normal, but don't give in to it. Ask God, help me. This is what I do when Sylvie wants to correct me, and we have our little way of knowing, you know, that it's coming, you know. And so when she said, Mark, can I tell you something? So I know something is coming. So, yes. Take a big breath. Okay, let's calm down. Just listen carefully. And it works. Try it. Now, maybe none of you have that problem, but I certainly did. It works very good. I'd like to paraphrase also Romans 13:3. And this is something like this. Do you want to be free from receiving correction? If you don't like correction, would you like to have no correction? Romans 13:3 says, be diligent at doing what is good, and you will receive praise instead of correction. Remember the verse? So let's, folks, build a culture of people that actually welcome correction. And that we don't make it hard for those that loved us enough to bring a word of exhortation. Let's remember that it's actually the grace of God coming down from heaven because he loved us and he knows that we have a little problem here. He's not condemning us. He just wants us to grow. He wants us to be more efficient for His kingdom. So as we do that, as we create this culture of humility and receiving and being able to give and receive correction, my vision is that the lamb that was slain for us could receive more reward for his suffering. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for the burden you've put on my heart. I pray that it could be received in the heart of all the hearers that were here, Lord. Because I know that in the human economy, none of us can get by without this part of our life. And I know that we are very, very inclined to put a fuss when these things come. Please help us tonight to see a better vision, a better understanding of how you looked at it, and that you could transform our mind, that we come to love correction and invite them and welcome them as a gift from God. Amen.